All right, so I want to say there were three vorts that I saw in the Sefer Alein L'Shabeach from Reb Zilberstein. And the first is a wild Yalkut Shimoni, a very powerful Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni is a medrash. And on the first pasuk, this week's parasha, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, the Yalkut Shimoni says that the difference between the reason for the survival of the Jewish people is that when difficulties and challenges come up to the non-Jews, they crumble. They fall from it. They're not able to overcome the challenges. However, when it comes to the Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael suffers, right? The Medrash uses the lashon of Hinei Kel Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Efchad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring me salvation, and I'm not going to be afraid. So that's the Yalkut Shimoni of this week's parasha. And when you think about Klal Yisrael and the tragedies and the challenges that Klal Yisrael has endured throughout Jewish history, the fact that they're able to rise from the ashes, you know, so many times, is mamash a key of this medrash. The medrash, of course, preceded Jewish history by thousands of years. But yet the medrash is telling us, what is the secret of the Jewish people? Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Right, you're standing. That no matter what happens to Klal Yisrael, we keep on fighting back, we keep on prevailing. And when you think about what's going on now, obviously this is a worldwide pandemic. This is a terrible thing that's affecting the entire world. But we, as Jews, we have to prevail. We have to understand that, yes, this is a challenge. Yes, this is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this whole pandemic. But we're not going to stop. We're going to continue to open yeshivas, to come to yeshivas, and to learn. This has been the motto of Klal Yisrael. No matter what, we always fight through. We always push through. And we see, you know, look what happened with the Holocaust. Right? It's not even so long ago. It's 70 years ago. 6 million and the destruction and so on. But what happened afterwards? Right? We came and we flourished. We flourished in Eretz Yisrael. We flourished in America. The amount of Torah that is being learned, many will say, hasn't been learned like this since, I don't know, Maimon Har Sinai. Who knows? But the point is that we always bounce back. And you and we as a nation have to bounce back. And we as individuals also have to bounce back. We also have to prevail. We know that this is not a normal situation at all. Who would have ever thought last year, Rosh Hashanah time, Yom Kippur time, this is what we'd be living through? You'd put them in an insane asylum if you tell you that people would be walking around masked, you know, people would be, you know, quarantining and all this. Not just, you know, a small amount of people, the entire world. So we have to go ahead and we have to fight, even though these are difficult circumstances. Like I said before, look at the silver lining a little bit. Look at the opportunities you have. There are much fewer distractions. Where is there to go? What is there to do? Now's the time, right? It's like coming to yeshiva in the 80s or 90s, right? In those days, right, it was different. We didn't have cell phones, it was pay phones. There's very, very few distractions. Now, here you are. Again, you do have a cell phone. You are connected to the world. But on the other hand, physically speaking, what do you have to worry about? What are the distractions? You don't have to worry about where to go, what to do. You're here. And therefore, you have to go ahead and take the challenges that we're presented with and try to overcome them and use them to your advantage. In the Pasuk, when it describes destruction, it uses the language of Gafris v'melach. Gafris is sulfur and melach is salt. Why did it pick those two items, those two elements? And the pshat is that salt is the least flammable of everything. It doesn't get burned. Sulfur is the most flammable. Okay? And what's the message here? It says the Chizkuni, right, that if we're able to survive the fires of the world, the temptations of the world, like salt, then we'll be great. But if not, if we're not able to overcome the temptations of the world, we're going to burn, Rachman al-Sun, like sulfur. Right? Meaning, Torah, and that's what we're really describing over here, Torah, if we stick with the Torah, so then we'll be able to endure everything. We'll be like salt. We will survive any fire. However, if we chas v'shalom, don't follow the Torah, so then we're going to be punished, and we're going to suffer like sulfur, which gets consumed very easily. And you see from here that Torah is life, right? We say it every single night. Ki heim chayinu v'orchimeinu, referring to the Torah, it's our life, right? Ein mayim elo Torah. Oftentimes, we live through life, we think, oh, Torah is a nice subject. It's something that, you know, guides us, etc. No, it's life. It's life itself. Ki heim chayinu v'orchimeinu, it is our life. And when you think about the idea that we're going into the Yimei HaDin, when you think about, oh, there's certainly, Bein Adam L'Chavero is tremendous, having mercy on your friends and connecting. But if you think about the single most mitzvah, we say it every single morning, Talmud Torah is connected kulam, right? If you want to look how to tip the scales for yourselves going into Rosh Hashanah, there's no greater mitzvah to put on your scale than more Torah. And Baruch Hashem, you have morning shiur, you have afternoon shiur, you have night shiur, you have time to chazer, and so on and so forth. Torah is life. It's kiyem chayinu b'yachmenu. It's not like a nice subject. It's our essence. And that's what's carried us through all the years, as a nation, and also as individuals. He brings a story about Rav Shach, that Rav Shach was a very shy person. He was very shy. And, when he was in yeshiva as a youngster, so they would give out, rations of food. So he was fine having one portion of food. He didn't ask for two. But apparently, I think the big masmidim, if they wanted to learn at night, they needed more than one candle. But he wasn't aggressive. He said, he's happy with one candle. So after that candle went out, he was only able to learn by heart. He wasn't able to learn by a candle. And later on in life, he said that he feels like he was punished for not being more assertive to get a second candle so he could learn more at night. Why? Because had he understood, had he really pushed himself, he understands he didn't want to push for extra food. But the ability to learn, he should have pushed for it. He should have asked for two candles. And he felt, and he said about himself, later on in life, he suffered with his eyesight. And he felt that was a punishment for not being assertive enough for asking for a second candle. Why should he have asked for a second candle? Because a second candle would have given him the opportunity to learn. And learning is like life. Yeah, food he can manage without. But Torah is real life. And therefore, he felt that he should have pushed for a second candle. We have to look at our Torah learning like that. That's what we say every night. Ki heim chayenu ve'orach yemenu. It's our life support. That's what Torah is. Torah is life. It's chayim hilamach hazikimba. It's a tree of life. That's what Torah is. Now here we are, we're embarking. Shana Aleph was one thing. But now Shana Bet, you're embarking on the greatest opportunity of your lives to learn. First of all, the environment, as we said before, there's nothing else going on. You're finally ripe and ready to jump into learning. You understand the importance of learning. You came back to learn. So now's the time to push the pedal to the metal, to realize Torah is life. Now, I will say that statistically speaking, many of you will go out to college, you go on to work, there's no question about it. And the amount of hours that you have in your day will be much, to learn will be much less. But nevertheless, now's the time to try to internalize this idea that Torah is life. That a day shouldn't go by without Torah learning. How does that come? How does that happen? Because if you go ahead and you build a foundation here and you connect to the Torah as much as you can, so then it'll always be Mircha Sema, a life source for you. Admei Abbasrim. Actually, now that I said that idea, and now's the time to work on this foundation of the life of Torah, I'll say one of my favorite Mishalim that brings us home as well. I don't think I said it here. I think it was out of mess, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm behind the glass. Okay. So, Lamaisa, I've said this Mishal, and I think it's a very important Mishal. I usually say it at like the opening of Shana Abbasrim. I think I said it to some Shana Aleph guys. I don't think I said it to you guys yet. Did I tell you about the boat yet? I didn't tell you about the boat? Okay, fine. So I think it fits into what I just said a second ago. Many people ask, all right, what's the point in trying hard during Elul, Aseres Metshuva? Anyway, we're going to go through the rest of the year and have our struggles. What's the point? So I once heard a beautiful mashal. The mashal goes as follows. There was once a ship, that was docking at the port. And the captain of the boat was lowering the anchor to anchor the ship. And one of the sailors came to the captain and said, "What are you doing? Don't you know the weather report? The weather report is calling for huge storms. There is no way this anchor is going to hold. The boat will certainly drift." So the captain turned to the sailor and said, "You're a fool. I know the weather report. I know the anchor won't hold. But if I don't anchor the boat, we'll drift so far away we won't be able to find our way back to the dock. But at least if I anchor my boat, we'll drift, but we won't drift that far. We'll still be able to find our way back to the boat with a decent amount of ease." That's the mashal. The nimshal is we know that the year is stormy. We know the ups and downs throughout the year. But at least, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Elul, we try to re-anchor ourselves. We anchor ourselves. We know there's going to be storms. We know that. But at least we're going to anchor ourselves. And I also like to explain in terms of life. Statistically speaking, most of you will not spend the rest of your day, rest of your life learning all day. Many guys have left this yeshiva and have continued to learn morning, afternoon, night, and have gone into teaching. But statistically speaking, many of you will spend your day, in college and then working a 9-to-5 job. So you would ask yourself, what's the point? What am I doing here? Why am I coming to yeshiva to learn morning, afternoon, night? And the answer is the same answer. That we're here to anchor ourselves. We know life is challenging, life is stormy, there's ups and there's downs. But at least if you anchor yourself, you spend a year or two, hopefully more, wherever you are, anchoring yourselves in Torah, so then you can go ahead and you can handle the storms. And even if the storm comes, you'll still be able to find your way back. That's number the second word that I wanted to share with you. The third word is, the pasuk says, "V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shemata b'kolo." You'll return to Hashem and you'll listen to Him. So the Chidah points out, "V'shavta" is the same word as Shabbos. That Shabbos also means, has elements of tshuva. And he says that real tshuva doesn't come unless a person is chozer b'tshuva and he's a shomer Shabbos. It happens to be oftentimes, what do we define an observant person? An observant person, we refer to him as being shomer Shabbos. That you see is obviously the foundation. First of all, you know, Shabbos is equal to holy mitzvos. Shabbos, of course, is the cornerstone of emunah. Also, if you by the Medrash, by Kain, what happened? Kain says he's going to wander, and he sees, meets Adam Arishon after he sins, and also he says the os. He sees an os when he wants to do tshuva, and what's that os? The os is Shabbos. So Shabbos is certainly related to tshuva, no question about it. The Ben Ish Chai is a beautiful, beautiful mashal. He says a story about a widow and a widower, right? And unfortunately, each one loses their spouse, and each one has a son and one has a daughter, okay? And the widow and the widower get married, and the widow accuses the widower of giving money to his son from their communal funds. And the widower, the husband, accuses the widow of giving money to her daughter. So each one accuses the other one of giving money from their funds to each one's child and the other one's stepchild. So they come to a Rav. I'm sorry, they come to the Ben Ish Chai for advice. Actually, maybe it is a true story. Come to the Ben Ish Chai, and he says, I have a great idea. Just marry them off to each other. You can marry each other, step siblings, no problem. Marry them off to each other. This way, there's no problems. It's all one big pot, and nobody's taking money from anybody else. So that was the story. The Ben Ish Chai says it's the mashal. What's the mashal? The mashal is about Shabbos. How's that mashal about Shabbos? Because during the week, we have a struggle. What happens during the week? We have a guf, and we have an neshama. And they're each one we feel like is taken from each other. The goof is taken from here, and then the shamar is taken from here. And each one is struggling, and we're accusing each one of doing the wrong things the whole week. And what happens on Shabbos? They come together. The goof and the shamar come together. How does the goof and the shamar come together? Because on Shabbos, even the goof gets taken care of. Meaning the physical things that during the week are not considered to be holy, they're mundane. On Shabbos, eating and drinking and sleeping are all considered holy activities. And Mamela, that's the union that is created on Shabbos. On Shabbos, what do? You take the guf and you bring it into the world of the neshama. And therefore, that's what Shabbos is. When we go ahead and we take our guf, which is who is responsible for any time we do an avera, and we bring it into the holy environment of Shabbos, that's why Shabbos is one of the fundamentals of doing tshuva, because it takes the guf and brings it into the world of the neshama. Derech Agav, I once heard a shir about tshuva and Shabbos, and an unbelievable board. I don't know where Rabbi Fran said it over, and I'm not sure where he got it from, but certainly something to keep in mind with this idea that Shabbos, going into this Shabbos, which is also the last Shabbos of the year, the Sfarim bring down that if you made a mistake, Chas v'Shalom, and you erred in a Shabbos during the year, as long as you observe the last Shabbos of the year, it takes care of everything else for the rest of the year. And same thing with Monday or Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, this is it. This is the last week. Starting tonight, the last week of the year. You can fix up any mistakes that you made on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and of course, Shabbos. Getting back to the board of a friend. There's a machlokes. And one Gemara says that if Klai Yisrael would keep Shnei Shabbos Kilchasa, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, if the Klai Yisrael would keep two Shabbos according to the rules, so then Miyad Nigolin, right away they'd be redeemed. But there's a Medrash, I think it's a Medrash Yishalmi, that says that if they keep one Shabbos Ketikna, so then the Gula will come. I don't understand, it's a Stira. Do you have to keep two Shabbos to have the Gula, or is one Shabbos enough? So he makes a diak. I'm not sure whose diak it is. Maybe it's a friend's diak. One, it says two Shabbos is kilchasa. What does it mean? The letter of the law. You follow the rules. However, Shabbos achas ketikna, one Shabbos according to the way it's supposed to be observed, not just in terms of the actual halachos, but also the spirit of Shabbos. And Rabosai, one of the beautiful things of being in yeshiva is the spirit of Shabbos. It's not just the halacha. Of course, you have to keep the halachos of Shabbos. But the geschmack and the beauty of Shabbos, the singing, the ruach, the davening, the learning, all those things, that's what it means, Shabbos Achas Ketikna. And getting back to this idea, when a person goes ahead and observes Shabbos properly and feels the Shabbos properly, you know what he says? The guf, right? All those pleasures that a person thinks are enjoyable during the week, he comes to Shabbos and he experiences the Shabbos the way it's supposed to feel like, he's like, ew, like, there's no comparison to the feeling that the guf feels when he has a geshmak, a spiritual and enjoyable Shabbos. Even the physical part, when you eat and you sing and you're with chaverim and you're in a Shabbos environment that feels the spirit of Shabbos, then all of a sudden the guf says, I don't know what I was enticed. What felt good during the week? This is the way it's supposed to be. And that's really what the Ben Ishchai is telling us. It is a struggle between the guf and the neshama during the week. On Shabbos, you bring the guf into the Shabbos. And therefore, Shabbos is one of the foundations of tshuva. So just to review, the number one yisod, first yisod we spoke about is that Klal Yisrael, their greatness is that they overcome challenges. Certainly applies over here. The second idea is gafris v'melach, the Torah. The Torah is, if a person connects to Torah, he's able to withstand any fire. That's why, like melach, like salt, it's not going to be consumed at all. But if a person doesn't connect to Torah, if he doesn't connect to Torah, so it's like sulfur, which is very flammable. And number three is the idea of Shabbos. That a person has to go into Shabbos, and we know, of course, Shabbos has an influence on the week ahead, and then it has an influence on the days prior to Shabbos. Everything falls out to Shabbos. Shabbos is Mekor HaBaracha. Right, we say it in the Lecha Dodi, it's the source of all bracha. When a person has a good Shabbos, his whole essence is elevated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyat nishmah. This is the first of hopefully many times together, learning together, trying to inspire ourselves. And Be'ez Hashem, we should all stay safe and healthy and have a Kesivah Ksimah Tova. Have a great Shabbos.